Welcome to my very first podcast. I'm Dana Pugh, and my podcast is called The Photographer's Revolution. I wanted to create this podcast not just to talk about business. I know that I am known for talking about running a sustainable photography business, but I also really enjoy talking about running a sustainable business on other fronts. How do you use your motherhood as a creative tool? How that motherhood affects your business decisions? How running a family, no matter if you're a mother or a father, how running a family and a business at the same time is difficult, and the ways that you've managed to navigate that journey throughout your career. And so I am super excited to talk to a number of amazing photographers who are both my friends and peers in the industry, and to share those conversations with you. So sit back and enjoy my very first conversation. I hope you like it. I mean, I feel like you don't really need an introduction.
Karen, give me a break.
This is the Photographer's Revolution podcast, and I am your host, Dana Pugh.
We're
chatting. Okay.
Good.
Okay, so here I am. I am so excited to talk to Summer Murdoch. She is my friend, first and foremost, and an awesome photographer out of Utah, who has a website, I'm sure, called summermurdochphotography.com. And she also operates a school for photographers called illuminateclasses.com as well. And today we're just going to talk about being moms and being creatives and how that has inspired our businesses and our creative hearts, I guess.
Awesome. Good to be here, Dana.
I'm super excited to chat with you.
Me too.
Yeah. So you have kids?
Yep. I got 4 kids. That might be a little too many.
It seems like too many to me. I have 2.
You might want to think long and hard before you get 4 kids, but yeah. No, I'm kidding. I love my 4 kids, obviously.
Right.
Yeah, 4 kids. It's a lot to balance.
Yeah. So how old are your kids?
They range from 7 to 15. So 7-year-old, 10-year-old, 12-year-old, and 15-year-old.
Yeah.
Big range.
Yeah. And how long have you been a photographer?
I started when I was pregnant with my 10-year-old is when I really, it's when I got my Canon Rebel. Before that, you know, I took some film class in college and toyed with the idea of being a photographer. But I pretty much, my professor told me that, every photo I took, he critiqued, and I basically left there thinking like, oh, I'm not really good at this. So I'm just going to move on. But came back to it when I got that digital, the Canon Rebel.
Yeah.
So.
And so I think probably like a lot of moms, your kids are what inspired you to pick up a camera in the first place.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's the classic story that you hear from so many women photographers, but you know, I remember going to what they call Kitty Candids, which I think is shut down, and taking pictures of my 15-year-old having his pictures done, like laying on the white carpet, you know, and just thinking like, oh, that's a cute photo because that's a cute baby and I love him. But thinking, why are we taking pictures of this kid on a white rug? Like, this is just so, and I liked the pictures I was taking with my film camera better than, you know, those Kitty Candids photos. So that was kind of my brain started turning a little bit, but, you know, shooting with the film camera, and I didn't quite understand I didn't understand manual 100%.
Right.
So really when I got that digital camera and I could see the back of the camera and like immediate feedback is when it all hit home for me. So,
well, I'm impressed you shot with a Rebel, because I, like, for me, I have a very similar story where a friend of mine was a photojournalist and actually taught at a photo school, and she photographed my son, who I, and I still think back to when he was a baby and think he was like literally the most beautiful child. He was such a beautiful baby that every time we got photos taken in a studio setting, which was pretty much the option back then, he's 15. I was so disappointed, because it's like, this isn't capturing like him. And I just wanted to photograph him. And so my friend, who's a photojournalist, you know, she photographed us while we were on vacation in Vancouver, and they were like, for the first time I saw photographs with real expressions of us like loving each other and having a good time. And I was like, why does photography have to be so contrived? And I picked up a camera, but I refused to shoot with the Rebel because it was so hard to use. In my mind, like, I looked at it and I was like, oh my God, I'm never going to do this. This like flipping from screen to the thing. And the, it was so complicated. Whereas like my first camera was like a 30D. So I could like just spin the dials, and I was like, oh, this is so much easier than using the like screen and so.
Interesting. I didn't, I mean, that's all I knew, you know, and I just made, I mean, I got that in a little 50 millimeter kit lens. That's like $100.
Yeah.
You know?
The 1.4 or the 1.8?
No, the 1.8.
Yeah.
It's like, at the time, I think it was really, I think.
Yeah, it's $100. I think they're $100. Yeah.
I think it was 80 back then. I mean, you know, and magically I could shoot at 2.0 and get a blurry background, and I was in heaven.
Yeah. The blurry background. But,
yep, that's all I wanted.
Yeah, I know. I got a kit. My kit lens that came with my camera was a 17-85, 4.0-5.6. Very common kit lens at the day on during that time period. And I shot with it for a month, and I came to my husband and I said, I need a 50 millimeter. He's like, why? I'm like, I can't shoot inside. And I explained it to him, and he was like, okay. So we bought a 50, and I've never looked back.
Yeah.
I started my business with a 30D and a 50 millimeter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I shot clients with that Canon Rebel at a 24-70 lens, which is funny, for kind of a while. Yeah.
Wow.
And, I mean, I looking back now, even at 800 ISO, when I had to get to 800, oh my gosh, they look horrible.
Oh yeah. I shot a birth with the 30D, and I was shooting at like 1600.
Yeah.
And it was like, they were unusable, really.
Right.
Like, I mean, I gave them to them, but they were so grainy that you're just like, wow, like people don't even realize how far we've come and in such a short period of time.
Yeah. When I got that Mark II, oh man, I was like, what? I can shoot it 800 ISO.
Yeah. I know. I'm kind of grateful that I got into it when before the good ISO, because, I think it forced me to like look at light a little bit differently and to look at things a little bit differently, as opposed to just being lazy and up.
Sure.
Although I am certainly lazy at times and just up my eyes.
Oh, we all are.
Yeah.
So am I. But yeah, I mean, it makes you, it's like, I mean, you almost have to take photos when you're shooting with a camera like that, like you're shooting with your iPhone.
Yeah.
Your iPhone does the same thing. Like you have to, you're forced to look for the good light. Otherwise.
Yeah.
Crap. So anyway.
Yeah. So you started, so do you, how many clients do you take a year? And like, let's talk about your business side of things first. Like, you're a huge name in the industry now, but once upon a time, maybe you weren't. So like, at what point did you decide to take clients? At what point did you just decide that clients weren't going to be your focus? Cause they're not really your focus right now.
No. I mean, this is, again, probably a story like tons of people who are listening to this right now.
Yeah.
Tons of what I got, get my camera and I start taking pictures of my kids, and then my friends see them and they say, oh, can you take pictures of my kids? And then I do that. And then before I know it, I was getting friends of friends who I don't even know who were calling me, you know,
right.
I'm like, okay, well, this is fun and I like this, but I got to charge something for this. I'm not just going to go leave my family and go, and the editing back then took me
so long.
So ridiculous, because, you know, I was just doing everything in Photoshop and actions, and I mean, just crazy. So I started charging, not enough still, even though I really shouldn't have been taking clients yet. It's like a joke. But people liked it apparently. And, you know, so I just did that and I got to where I was taking, I was basically shooting for too cheap and doing a lot of families. And I was so burnt out and I was like, I don't even want to do this anymore.
Right.
And I had, that was when I, the birth was right before I had my fourth child. And so I just stopped. I decided when she was born, I'm not going to take any clients. I'm going to take like a 3 to 6 month break. And that break turned into 2.5 years. Cause I just didn't want to start again. And that's like when I started my Facebook page. And basically it was sharing photos of my own kids. So that's kind of how, and in all honesty, it's crazy. That's when I really found out who I was as a photographer. When I stopped shooting, the focus was not just trying to make these photos of these families, but it was really exploring, you know, what I like. So yeah, then 2.5 years after she was born, I started taking clients a little bit again, still not as many as I was before, raised my prices significantly. But shortly after that, I started teaching this, my online workshop, The Magic of Light, and that really took off. And so for now, at least, that is, you know, my main source of income, and families are kind of taking a back burner.
Teaching is time consuming.
Yeah. You can only do so much with four kids and, you know, so I'm sure that won't last forever. And at some point,
you'll reevaluate
and figure it out. But, but that's where I'm at right now.
And that's the business. I think no matter what you do in photography, you're constantly having to reevaluate and see what you want to do and how you're going to monetize it. And so, I totally started photographing my own kids too. And I think that what you said about you realize, oh, now I'm photographing what I like.
Yeah.
And I, for a long time, that was my kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it still is, like when I go on vacation, like, I mean, that's why we have sort of a vacation problem in our house. I mean, it's not a problem, but we take a lot of holidays. We don't have a lot of stuff because we spend a lot of money on traveling. But for me,
we're kind of the same way. We're all about spending our money on experiences more than a lot of stuff.
Yeah. So. And I remember like being on the side of the road in Iceland. Like this was a long time ago because we went to Iceland in maybe like 2011 or something like that. So, or 2012, we're on the side of the road in Iceland. And it's like 1 o'clock in the morning, but that's sort of like, it was light there all day at that time. And we're photographing the kids. I'm photographing the kids playing with Icelandic horses, you know, on the side of the road. And my husband's like, you know, if this is what photography has brought to us as a family, is now we stop to play with horses on the side of the road if the light is good, you know. And I'm like, yeah. For me, it made me sort of look at my own family life and go, what's beautiful about my life and how can I make it even more beautiful in some way? Like it became almost an obsession. Like what can we do as a family so that I can make beautiful pictures?
Yeah. I'm kind of that same way. We don't, you know, with four kids and mine are young, a little bit younger, we're starting to get to that age where it's easier to travel farther, you know, cause the youngest is 7. But I'm that same way. You know, we tend to travel more locally and do a lot of outdoor things here in Utah, but yeah, I mean, I'm all about that too.
Yeah.
You know,
I know. And I mean, we travel a ton here. Both of us are really fortunate because I live like an hour away from Banff National Park, which is like iconic and everybody comes here. And I just like, in fact, it's spring break for me next week. And it's like, hey, where are we going to go? What are we going to explore so that I can take and make beautiful photographs? But the problem that I'm coming up with, my kids are 15 and 12. And so now, and like probably for a while, the problem has been my kids aren't super excited to create photographs with me anymore. Sometimes they are. Sometimes they're on board and sometimes they're not. But it's so that's been kind of a struggle for me.
Yeah, it is for me too. You know, my oldest has always not enjoyed.
Yeah.
He shuts down, the camera comes out. And I still take pictures of him, but I have to be really careful about what I share, and I have to ask him if it's okay, you know?
Yeah.
And the other kids are, even my 12-year-old, she's okay with it. And, but you know, I always have to remember that, you know, just because I love this doesn't mean they do.
Yeah.
And so it's a fine line, you know, to balance not invading their privacy and to be able to document and create images that I love, you know, and it's been a really hard thing for me. And you know, it's easy for me to say, cause I still have a 7-year-old she loves, and I think she might be the kid who, even when she's 16, loves the camera. Cause she just really loves the camera. Like she'll ask me to take photos. None of my other kids have ever asked me to take a photo. I don't think ever, but maybe I haven't given them the chance to ask. I don't know.
Right.
But yeah, that's why I think with older kids, it's important to get them to do something, right? I mean, you have to be doing something. So just sit there at home and like take pictures of them looking at their phones or whatever is not, it's not the kind of photos I want to be making, you know?
Yeah.
I can, you know, if the light's interesting and I want to take a portrait, I can make interesting portraits of them fairly regularly, you know, but sometimes portraits can get a little bit boring for me, you know. I have to mix it up. I don't want to just take portraits all the time. So
yeah, I think actually having teenagers pushed me to get better at making portraits, because I never really, I used to just always photograph life as it was happening and unfolding and not really give a whole lot of direction. Although sometimes there would be some direction, like go stand in the light. But my kids, and I know lots of photographer kids are like this. They'll be like, look, there's good light over here. Like, do you want me to do something over here in the good light? And I'm like, I love that you guys can spot that. but yeah, look at the light. It's so pretty. But as they got older, and both of them have been through sort of periods where they really didn't want me to share anything. You know, or Georgia would be like, oh my God, I look awful in that shot. And I'd be like, what? You don't, you look so amazing. And she'd be like, no, you know, and not want me to share it. And so getting more intentional with my work was like a natural progression that came from always documenting my own kids, because their daily life is not that exciting anymore. It's a lot of like driving in the car, doing homework by a computer, talking to their friends on phones, and like, that's boring.
Totally.
Yeah.
It pushes you, like you have to push yourself harder to look for and be more observant, to look for the moments and the opportunities that are around. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I always say my kids, I get questions sometimes. People think like that my kids are just super cooperative and love the camera, and it's just not true.
No.
I mean, as I said, one of them kind of does, but she definitely has times where she's not into it, you know, but my kids have made me a good photographer because they're so challenging, you know, like I've had to learn to be quick, to look for light and composition and have that all in my mind really quickly so that I can like make a photo. I mean, 5-minute project.
Yeah.
What we did. I mean, that's like such a great, that's my biggest tip for people. If they're trying to work with their own kids, like you have to make it, I mean, even less than 5 minutes. Five minutes is a long time for my older kids in particular, you know?
Yeah.
Gotta be fast.
Yeah.
You gotta be fast if you wanna take pictures of your kids.
Yeah. But, and then, and just making time to do that. And And then for me, the big thing that has happened probably as they've gotten older is that now I'm like, well, I love my life. But if my kids aren't in, and I am totally a people photographer, and like I know some people are lucky. I feel like they're lucky if they're not a people photographer and they can like find joy in photographing landscapes or things. but it's just not my thing. I if there aren't people in it, I'm not really interested in the work. So then the problem becomes for me as my kids get older, as I get older, is like, okay, so what now? What am I interested in photography now? And trying to like figure that out has been like certainly been happening for the last 3 years, and it's so hard. It's much harder than I anticipated.
Yeah, well, and I'm entering that too, where I'm trying to think ahead because time's flying and it's getting harder and harder. And I still want to do this. Like, I still want to make pictures. I enjoy the process of making photographs so much. I don't want that to end, and I have to figure out what that means for me. Because I'm a people person or a people photographer too. You know, I am inspired sometimes by taking pictures of landscapes but always if there's even just a small little person in it, it is so much more, I enjoy it so much more, you know? So I have to, that's where I'm kind of trying to figure out where I'm going with that next, you know? And the thing that's hard is how do you figure that out when you have 4 kids in a business and you don't have the time, because it takes time, right?
Yeah.
And even so trying to figure out.
Yeah. And like, you know, I decided a little while ago that I needed to purposefully make space in my life for that kind of work. So I was like, okay, what does that work look like for me? And it's very people-centric, and it's all sorts of things. There's so many things that I'm interested in that then you go, well, what do I focus on? And so I always wanted to be a National Geographic photographer, which is like a ridiculous thing, but like a lot of people I know say that. So I was like, okay, I'm going to start doing work with more nonprofits, doing more like documentary type work. And I am scheduled to go to Mexico on April 9th to work for a nonprofit. And I just got the phone call that they're having massive security issues. And there's concern about us going to the site because of the security issues, you know, and then it makes you stop and go, well, you know, that sucks because this was my space where I was going to like do something creative for me, specifically for me to try to explore. And now as a mother, I have to stop and say, you know, is it worth the risk to go and do this work that is like deep in my heart to do if something could happen to me? And I, even if I'm just traumatized, not shot or raped or killed, you know, like all the things that could happen. If you're just traumatized by the work, how do you come back to your family, you know? And so I'm like, I was just talking with another friend of mine and I'm like, I feel like this security issue is like door closing on that part in a way that was unexpected to me.
Interesting.
You know, like I was like, I thought this was gonna be it. And now I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Maybe that's not what I want to do. Maybe I'm too old for that. And the time to do that was when I didn't have kids. And so now what? Like I feel like there's so many times things happen in the last few years where it's, you're trying to find that answer to,
right.
And then you're like, well, shit, that's just going to close. And now what?
Right. But you know, that's life. I mean, that is how doors close. And sometimes then because of whoever you met and that door closed, then another door opens, you know,
right.
That's all you can really do is just follow your gut and say, oh, I feel good about this. And then something happens. And I guarantee Dana, it's probably going to lead you somewhere totally unexpected.
Yeah.
You know, it's a hard thing though. It's crazy. Cause when you were saying that at first, I'm like, yes, can I come with you? And then,
then you hear it, you know, and it's so funny cause my friend, the way I got the gig, it was a volunteer gig to be clear. The way that I got the gig is a friend of mine works for that nonprofit. And so she was like the one to call me and say, you know, I'm not comfortable going right now. And so when she said, I'm not comfortable going, I'm like, oh, great. Like, how do I go to my husband and say, you're not comfortable now? And then, like, do I make the decision to go by myself? And, you know, and what is that going to look like? And realizing that, oh, maybe this door just has to close. And this, like, what I want to shoot has to be something else. And so, like, what else is it? And it's just, oh, it's so hard, Summer. I can't get over how hard it is to figure out once the kids are done, what next?
Like, it scares me.
Yeah.
You know, it scares me because I really still want to create. Like, that's just
yeah.
in me. And I have to figure it out. I mean, can you go somewhere safer?
I know. I'm like partially like, you know what? I should just go to Hawaii on my own. Yeah.
Well, there's got to be other places that need that type of work and need someone to
yeah.
document it that maybe aren't having the security issues that.
Yeah, I know. And I think, yeah. and so now that's what it comes down to is like stopping and going, okay, what do I do instead? But
right.
I also think it's just funny because there's not a whole lot of time in my life for that. And as much like I kind of felt like when the kids were littler, that when my kids got older, there would be oh so much more time. And so I've been a little bit shocked that that's not true. It's sadly not true. And I don't even know how I spend my time. But those kids, they're so time consuming as teenagers too.
They are. And they need you to be
available,
emotionally present way more than little kids. Little kids are like exhausting
physically,
and they're just, it's just all day, every day, but it doesn't take, I mean, I had to spend an hour and a half in my 12-year-old's room last night discussing, you know, because she had some concerns and it turned into, you know, I had plans to do a few things for work and she needed me. So it all had to go out the door and I had to sit there, not had to, I mean, I'm glad that I could, but I mean, I think when you've got teenagers, you have to be flexible because they're not always willing to talk to you. You have to drop everything when they want to talk. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's really tricky. It's a tricky, tricky thing.
Yeah.
And that's my thing is I need that some, in order to figure out where I want to go next, I feel like I need some downtime, some where my head is just clear and free to think and explore different things. And I am having a really hard time finding that time.
Yes. I agree.
So,
that's the hardest thing. It's so funny because when I'm teaching pricing and business to photographers, the number one thing I say is there has to be room for grace in your business because you just never know. A, something could happen like where you actually need to take time off to deal with a family member or life, you know, but B, you at some point are going to need space for creativity to happen. And I don't think like, I feel like, at least for me, creativity needs oxygen. And in order to do that, there has to be space. It's kind of like that, you know, have you seen, I think it's Elizabeth Gilbert. I always bring her up. But like that talk where she talks about like that woman. Oh, there's like, anyways, she alludes to it being kind of like a person or like a monster. Or like, I'm sure she doesn't call it a monster, but you're like creative genius. She calls it your genius.
Yeah,
that sits on your, like, it's like your little fairy, right? So at some point you have to feed the fairy, right? Like, how are you going to feed the fairy if there's no oxygen or food? Like, where are you going to get that food from? And for me, it's oxygen and space. And you know, I used to feel like I could be more creative with clients, but I feel like clients, it's tough to be, I feel that like that's kind of a lie that photographers tell themselves to make having clients a little bit more palatable is that, oh, I can just be creative with my clients. Cause eventually you realize, oh no, I'm not able to do that.
Yeah. Even I totally agree that it's like the lie you tell yourself. Oh, I just gave myself 5 minutes at every shoot to do something different. And I agree. I mean, I think that's important.
Yeah.
But it's not the same as doing your own creative work.
No,
it is not the same, not even close. And it doesn't feel like I can do that, but it does not feed me in the same way that creating something just for me does not, it doesn't even come close.
Right.
So, I mean, it's important and I'm not saying that it's complete bullshit to take 5 minutes at a client's shoot. Cause I mean, I think that, you know, some good and a creative push can come from that.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But it's just not the same.
But you can't just call on your creativity. Like, like, woo, creative gods, I'm going to be creative today. Please, like, let's do a creative dance. It's going to happen. Like, it doesn't happen. And if you're a professional who's, like, getting paid, you have to bring it. So you have to be able to bring it kind of from a technical place.
Holy.
And that was sort of a surprise for me, probably. as a business owner, you know, that I couldn't just be creative, that I had to like, okay, in this moment, I can't be creative. It's not going to happen. I got to be technical.
You're like, I feel like I'm completely not in control of when that feeling of where everything just lines up and the stars align and like those shoots where everything is just like, oh, wow. Yeah. I am totally not in control of that.
No.
I'm not. So I can show up and do my work. And, you know, I've worked hard. I know technically how to use my camera. I have a system to get people to interact, like all of that. But I cannot force that. Some shoots go awesome and others are a struggle.
Yeah.
And that's just how it is. And that's the thing, too, like with your own creative work is – when you have limited time and then you set aside time to go and do something and then that feeling doesn't show up, it sucks.
It does suck. You know? And so it's like, how do you do the work to like get to that point so that when you have the time, like what is the work that we need to be doing?
I swear it's just consistent, if not daily, close to daily, making the time for it.
Yeah.
Like it is just the time because the more, I mean, it's like a numbers game. The more you show up to do the work, the more you increase your odds that that feeling's going to show up and that you're going to have some type of a breakthrough. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right.
But if you're never doing that, then you're never going to have that feeling.
Yeah. And if
it sounds
we're
so
constantly,
simple, but it's the truth.
It's so true. And so if we're constantly filling our time, like we're so low priced, which is what's happening in the family industry right now, so that we're shooting like, we have no choice. We have to shoot a high volume of sessions in order to make a living. There's no space to breathe. And it's so funny because you're right. Like when I do go on vacation, I create my best work for sure. And a big part of that is just nothing else is going on. And so I can just focus on shooting. And not just that, there are times when I take vacation and I hardly shoot. And I only shoot when I'm super inspired. And so I know I'm just giving myself that mental break from like thinking about it. You know, even when we went to New York, I know this might sound like a lot to a lot of people. So like, you know, I know everybody shoots like a different amount of photographs. But like usually on a 1 week trip, I shoot 5, 6, 7,000 photographs.
I probably
did. Yeah. And like on a 2 week trip, if I didn't shoot over 10, I'm like, whoa, what happened? I barely shot anything, you know?
Right.
So when I went to New York, I shot like 3,200 or something. And I was like, wow, I barely shot while I was in New York. But I felt like that's probably not what I needed in that moment. I needed to like breathe.
Yeah.
And just be with my kids and like experience being with my kids and being with my family and like photographers and creatives maybe in general, but I don't know. I'm just a photographer. So as a photographer, it's like, I feel like there's never this break where, you know, like my husband's an engineer. He goes to work, he comes home, he's done engineering, you
right.
know, but like as a mom and a business owner and a creative, it's like every crack of time is filled with either running a business, doing something for someone else for sure. Whether
yes.
it's a client, a kid, a husband, I'm always doing something for someone else. So then finding that cracks of time where it's just for me is so hard. It's so hard.
It's like, I don't know. I think it might be a forever. I mean, maybe when my kids are all gone, I'll figure it out. But like a forever, I'll never figure, you know, like
yeah.
the forever quest to figure out how to find the time.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
It,
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Okay.
Other than schedule it and like,
I know,
like you just have to do it.
I know.
Just do it, you know.
I know.
I mean,
I scheduled it, like I said, and now it feels like it's collapsing. And so then part of me is like, okay, now what do I schedule? Like,
right.
but then
yeah.
it's like, I've never, I don't think creatives like to schedule things, right? It's
they
like,
don't.
It's,
my husband is so, we have this argument all the time that he's like, you need to block out your day and say you're doing this time. And I am so resistant to that. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Like the idea of having this schedule that I have to do everything at a certain time every day drives me nuts because that's not how I operate. Like I have to have the time if something appears to me or like I see something I want to shoot or, you know, there's an up, I want to be able to just throw it all into the wind and that's just how I operate. So I don't know.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. And we were talking about before we started recording, we were talking about working out And I feel like it's almost the same sort of thing where it's like, if you're intentional about setting the time to go and do it and you work out, and then you can be intentional about, okay, this is the 2 hours on this day I'm going to take to create. So I've got to maybe go for a walk, or, you know, if you don't have kids anymore, like, this is what's been holding me back always, is like, I'm like, well, what do I shoot? I'm like in my house. So I have a couple hours this afternoon. I could edit, which I desperately need to do too. Always need to edit. Or I could photograph my dog.
Photograph my rabbit.
Yeah, you know, put my dog in the good light.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
But it's like, at a certain point, you're like, oh crap, there's got to be something else. And I want to have that discussion with a lot of photographers. I want to figure out, like, how are we finding that something else? What's the next thing after motherhood?
I know. I mean, I think at some point it might start to involve finding people that are willing to be photographed.
Yeah.
For, you know, just for their time, and give them images that do things that I want to do. I'm also incredibly interested in street, because I love the idea of, I mean, my favorite photographs are always the ones that are just kind of serendipitous moments that just everything comes together and I'm just sitting there waiting and anticipating. Those are always like the most rewarding for me when I shoot them.
Yeah.
I'm incredibly interested in doing some street, but man, I live in the middle of suburbia, and it's a lot of effort to go. And even the biggest city around me is not, But the, I mean, that might just be an excuse, you know, but it definitely has its challenges.
I know. So if we could redefine street, because I've thought about this too, because I live in a small town and really suburbia. And I'm like, maybe we should be doing suburbia street photography. How do we make that interesting? The thing is, it's not super interesting to me, but like, what about, and I have sometimes taken pictures and I've been like, this is street photography in the Canadian Rockies, you know, because I'll see somebody doing something in the Rockies and I'll be like, there we go.
I do that all the time up in the mountains. I last time we were in California, I was out in the ocean with my housing, and there was the waves were huge. And I was out there and I was just photographing, you know, the guys that were surfing and boogie boarding. And I had so much fun doing that. They were staring at me like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But
you
awesome,
crazy lady.
You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, that is street. You know, I mean, I guess you just put yourself in a situation where there's people wherever. But for me, I feel like in my everyday life, that's like at the grocery store, which is completely uninspiring. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everything's new. It's like shopping centers. It's just not. I got to figure out how to make that work for me. So.
Yeah. And what could suburbia photography, street photography look like? Could that look like? And
it's kind of how I photograph my kids, right? I mean, so I guess I just have to, the thing that's hard about it is that when there's only a few of you on the street, or the few, they know you're taking the picture.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're in New York City, I mean, there's so many people, I mean, they kind of know, but then everyone's moving so fast and it's just a sea of people. It's like out of sight, out of mind. I actually had an experience here in my little town. I'm like, okay, I'm doing this. And I went out and I went to this really old movie theater that this, everyone calls it the sticky floor, I think.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a dollar theater, you know? And I mean, I just stood across the street. And I mean, I had to wait for so long for people to pass by.
Yeah.
And then people were staring at me like, what are you doing? I mean, I just stuck out like a sore thumb, you know? I guess you got to get over that.
I think that's a big part of street too. And I feel like that's the problem with trying to do street in suburbia. Like you said, you know, what do I find interesting about suburbia? Like the skate park, you know, and stuff like that. So what do? Go to the skate park where there's all these teenagers and just take photographs of them and then call that street photography. Like I could see a lot of problems with that in my head. And so then it's I let the problems get in my way.
Yeah.
You know, and the last time I saw you, we were at the Family Narrative in New Orleans.
Yes.
And one of the things that I took away, my big takeaway from that was that dudes don't ask. And listening to Wynn and Reg talk about how they don't ask permission. They'll ask for work, but they don't. I feel like women are just too polite. That's the big takeaway.
Yeah.
Like, we're afraid to put ourselves out there and say, hey, I'm here. I do really great work and I'd love to actually do some work for you. And the other thing we're afraid to do is to take, like, to just shoot when the time comes. Like, you know, we're afraid to get in there. Like that, you can see that, you can see the hesitance in the vast majority of females' portfolios right now, where they're way too far away. Like, they're way too far away. It's the number one thing I say to, like, everybody I do a portfolio review with is, like, well, why are you so far away? Like, when the moment's, like, really close up, why aren't you getting in there? And it's just women and their politeness.
Yeah, no, it's a problem. Yeah. I mean, I consider myself, somewhat, you know, pretty strong and confident. But yeah, I mean, I have to, and I think what it is too on the street is or not even on the street, but when I'm taking pictures of people that I don't know, I just don't want them to feel like I'm mocking them. Does that make sense?
Like, oh yeah, that makes
that's
sense.
That's the biggest thing. Like, I just want people to understand that's not what this is about, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm not quite sure. Yeah, I just got to get over that, I guess. Carry business cards and take the picture and then show them the back of the camera and say, here, I'll email this to you.
Yeah, like the fracking person.
Yep. Yeah. What was I'm going to post that picture.
You need to post that picture. Frackish guy. It was a her. That's what her word was. Frackish, right?
Frackish. Yes. Frackish.
Yes. Yeah.
Men destroy, women create.
Men destroy, women create. That's right. We just for this was like a moment when we were in New Orleans, we saw this person on the street and Summer had the balls. You had the lady balls to go up and be like, I'm going to take your portrait.
Yeah.
And that is so hard. I feel like I mostly just stand back and take, when I do street, I don't get in there. Like that's,
I don't usually either. That was, I don't know why she looked at me and it just came out. That's really a struggle for me. So yeah, I got to post that picture. Lots of pictures from New Orleans.
She was
actually
awesome.
Yeah, I seriously got the coolest portrait of her.
Yeah.
Her cigarette and the smoke going everywhere. It's really cool. Anyways.
Yeah, you have to post that.
Yeah,
frackish.
I will.
Frackish. And
yeah.
So it's funny because somebody else just used the term fracking with me. And I was like, I know someone who uses the term frackish.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. That could be a whole new project where it's like, okay, this week we're going out and we have to photograph somebody and ask their permission and like,
yeah, that's so out of my comfort zone.
Oh, me
you
too.
Know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That, I mean, hey, you know, that could be a start for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Know?
Where we're forced to go do that every week. I would suck so hard at that. But then for me, it's like,
I don't think you would, Dana.
Oh, I know you would think that I wouldn't be so scared, but a little bit, I'm scared.
I know, but I think it's one of those things that once you just do it, you realize most people are nice and don't are fine, especially if you can. I listened, I think it's Sean Theodore XST.
Oh, right. You told me, bud.
I listened to him speak and he says that he will like pull up his Instagram and show people like, this is what I do, you know? And I think even just to like talk to them and let their guard down a little bit, give them a business card. Most people are not, some will say no. Most people will be totally fine with it.
Right.
So I think it's in our heads.
It is in our heads. We just have to get over it.
At least.
Yeah.
But I just need to schedule the time and get out there and actually do it, you know?
Yeah.
Because I don't,
that too.
That's my biggest struggle. Just do it.
Yeah.
So.
That too. I just don't. I don't make space for it anymore.
I don't either.
Yeah. Once your kids. Yeah, it is true. And it's like my kids have kind of not. They're not my pet project. Or they're definitely not my daily project anymore. So then it's like I just work on my business because that's the easiest thing to work on. But it's like I want to work on other things too.
Right.
So you have to like make the space for it.
Once a week, you should go down to your little downtown and find someone interesting and ask them to take the portrait.
Yeah.
Even that does not sound, that's not the kind of work that I love to do, but I think it would at least get me moving in a direction, you know?
Yeah. And I find that too, like, I don't know how many young photographers, you know, but like in my, for whatever reason, I've like met a few people who are like under 25, definitely under 30, not married, don't have kids, and they just shoot everything. And they're like, oh yeah, I like go to light up Okotoks at Christmas time and I just photograph people on the street. And I'm like, what? You know, like that just seems like a whole lot of work to me. And then you're like, oh yeah, okay, that's how, yeah, that's how they get their creative juices.
And part of that too, for the struggle for me is like, I would want to go do that when light is pretty. And when light is pretty, I am
busy,
very busy. Yeah. Those are like the busiest times of the day for a mom with kids.
Yeah.
So
it's so
running
hard.
Around.
Yeah. So we have to make space for it. That's
yep,
what I have
to
do now with my April 9th week, with my week that I'm supposed to be in Mexico. I need to like just go somewhere and be in the pretty light.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. It'll definitely rain that whole week. It'll rain.
Spring break next week, going out of town. I'm gonna make it a goal at least one of the nights to break off for 30, 45 minutes when light's pretty and just go walk around the streets of our hotel and take some pictures.
Okay.
I'm committed.
You're committed. I'm gonna make a goal too. I have something similar.
Yeah.
I don't know what exactly. I have to take a look at my schedule. But I'm going to schedule it in, darn it.
Yep. I think that's probably key for us.
Yeah. I think it probably is. I think you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Summer, thank you so much for talking to me.
Thank you, Dana. I always love talking to you.
Yeah. I love talking to you. I think you're just the best.
Why can't you live closer so we can like do this in real life more often?
Yeah, well, we actually don't live that far away.
Is it not that far? It seems like it's so far. But I guess we're in Mountain Standard Time. Can't be that far.
Yeah, it's a bit of a drive.
Yeah.
Like, where are you? Okay, just a second. We'll just end it.
Okay.